Crown House by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace. Starring Jane Asher, Gail Honeycutt, Barbara Lee Hunt, Dinah Sheridan, Richard Pascoe, and Dominic Rickards. Part 7.
April the 26th, 1930. Springtime in London. Here I am in Eaton Square at Nicholas's invitation. It's my first visit since that fateful New Year fiasco. Dear Nicholas, such excitement today. Lady Alice took me to tea at 145 Piccadilly.
How was the tea party?
Oh, it was marvellous. I was presented to the Duchess of York, and I saw both the princesses. Lilibet remembered your mother right away.
And you met the new baby, too. How was she?
Oh, a darling. But I can't really say I met her. She's only 2 months and 5 days old.
What's she called?
Margaret Rose.
What does Princess Lilibet think of the new arrival?
She calls her Bud. I asked her why, and she said, because she's not a proper rose yet. She's only a bud. Oh, but the most exciting of all, we have an invitation.
We do? Where?
The Duchess has asked us to St. James's Palace. The Prince of Wales has turned half a dozen rooms he never used into a ballroom, and he's throwing a party tomorrow night.
But how could the Duchess invite us to his party?
She's going to ring him up and explain. The Duke of York's away, and she doesn't really know the Prince's crowd, so she said, tell Nicholas he mustn't let me down.
I can just hear her saying it. Well, if we're going dancing tomorrow, we'd better get in a spot of practice tonight.
Dancing?
I thought we might look in at the Black and White Club after dinner, if you'd like to.
Oh. Isn't that where we met Lady Bowyer?
Well, don't worry. It won't be a bit like that.
Oh.
I gather Gina doesn't go there anymore. But I can get in without being a member, and the band's always good.
Good evening, Fred.
Oh, evening, sir. What can I get you?
Two dry martinis, please.
Very good, sir. Two dry martinis coming up.
Nicholas, look. Over there in the corner. That young man on his own. Isn't it
Prince George? Yes.
I remember he was here last time. But he looks so different.
He's as white as a sheet. Do you suppose he's ill?
I beg your pardon, sir. I couldn't help overhearing. His Royal Highness often drops in here of an evening, always by himself. I shouldn't really say this, but it seems he can't get supplies anymore.
Supplies?
I see. I don't travel that particular road myself, thank God. What is it? Snow?
What are you talking about? Snow?
Cocaine.
Oh.
It's the big craze among the bright young things.
Yeah, they think it's all fun and games when they start, and then they get hooked.
He looks as if I think he's crying.
He's going to get himself into real trouble one of these days. If the police was to come in here and find him like that, God knows what would happen. Ah, your martinis, sir.
Thank you. Keep the change.
Oh.
Isn't there anything we can do?
Well, if you could persuade him to go home. It's for his own sake.
All right. Let's go and have a word with him.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Thank heavens for that. Sorry to keep you waiting, Jenny. Eaton Square, driver.
What happened?
His valet was waiting up for him.
I felt so sorry for him. There must be someone who could help.
I can only think of one person, and we're meeting him tomorrow night.
Oh, the Prince of Wales.
I'll try to have a word with him at the party. If I can just get 5 minutes with him on his own.
Well, Nicole, how was your nightclub?
Oh, it was very interesting.
I thought you'd be in bed by now, Ma. You shouldn't have sat up for us.
Oh, that telegram came after you left.
Oh.
I hope it's not bad news.
Damn.
What is it?
My lords and masters have changed their minds. I'm to report to Portsmouth tomorrow for a new posting.
Oh, never mind. I'll come and see you off at Waterloo, then I can catch a train back to Medford.
You'll do no such thing. We've been invited to St. James's. It would be very rude to stay away.
Oh, but without Nicholas,
all
I
All the
really
more reason for you to keep me company. I'm not going on my own. Oh, dear. Oh, I'm sorry. It's long past my bedtime. If I don't get my beauty sleep, I shall be a wreck tomorrow. Good night, Nicholas.
Good night.
Good night, Jenny, dear.
Good night, Lady Minster.
I'll see you at breakfast.
What can I say? This has spoiled your holiday. I've let you down. Again.
I know you'd never do that. I've had a wonderful holiday, and I'll never forget it.
And you'll write to me?
Of course I will. But what are we going to do about Prince George?
Thelma, I was hoping I might see you.
Alice. What do you think of the little man's new playroom?
It's very glamorous. Oh, may I introduce my friend, Jenny Webster? Thelma, Lady Furness.
How do you do?
Jenny grew up with our family. She's one of our oldest friends.
Isn't that nice? And you both came here with the Duchess of York.
That's right. Oh, look, she's beckoning you, Jenny. I think she's going to present you to our host.
Oh, dear. Well, wish me luck.
When you're as pretty as that, who needs luck?
You should know. You and your sister Gloria have more than your share of both. Good luck and good looks.
I'm not so sure. Maybe my luck's starting to run out. The little man has been kind of restless lately. I suspect he has a roving eye. Hey, what did I tell you? He's asked your little protege to dance.
Oh, I don't think you need worry about Jenny.
Oh, no, I don't. She's not his type. He doesn't go for the English rose. He prefers American beauty roses, thorns and all. Now, what do you suppose they're talking about? He's looking very grim.
She wouldn't say anything to upset him, surely.
All I know is something has wiped the smile off his face. Well, will you look at that?
What's happening? I can't see them.
They've ducked behind that pillar. For heaven's sakes, he's taking her out through the side door that leads into the courtyard. What on earth is going on?
Jenny!
I'm sorry, I'm so late.
Where have you been? I was nearly frantic. Are you all right?
Oh, yes, I'm fine. I hope everything's going to be all right now. But I'd better tell you the whole story. Last night, Nick and I saw Prince George when we were at the Black and White Club. So when I was dancing with the Prince of Wales, I thought, this is my chance. It's now or never. And I told him.
About his brother? Oh, my dear.
I thought at first he was going to be terribly angry. But I begged him to go to the Black and White and see for himself. And then he suddenly said, come with me, and took me out to his car. He drove us straight to the nightclub, and we found Prince George. He was at the same place in the corner of the bar.
But what happened?
The Prince of Wales is going to take him off to Fort Belvedere, and he's going to stay with him until he's cured. Oh. It's funny. I used to think the prince was rather selfish and only cared about having a good time, but I've changed my mind now.
Yes, David means well, and he'd do anything for his brother.
He made me promise not to tell anyone, but I had to tell you, didn't I? And I must write to Nicholas. He'll want to hear the end of the story. November the 5th, 1930. I've used this breathing space before the village bonfire party to make up 3 days in my diary. Martin is home for half term, looking quite the little gent. And we have been joined by Lady Bowyer for a few days. I tend to avoid her as much as possible. we dislike one another intensely.
You don't mind me dropping in on you like this, do you? But I just simply had to get away from Charlie for a few days, or I swear I'd have throttled him. Oh, he makes me so mad sometimes.
Oh, dear. What's the trouble now?
Money. It's always money. Wouldn't you just know it?
But I thought your antique business was doing so well.
Oh, that. No, I gave it up. Things got sort of difficult one way and another, so I pulled out. I've been thinking, it's about time you and I did another little business deal. With Paul Wayman, I mean.
No, Gina.
Wait, hear me out. There's this friend of mine over from the States, and she's a real sweetheart. She's with her husband. Well, her second husband, actually. I helped her move into the most divine apartment at Bryanston Court.
Gina, do listen.
I just know you're going to love her. Her name's Simpson. Wallace Warfield Simpson. And she's simply dying to be presented next year. I've told her that you and Paul can fix everything.
No, Gina, it's impossible.
But why not? There's nothing in the rules and regulations to stop you, is there?
It's not that. According to court procedure, I can introduce someone every 3 years. But...
Well, there you are, then. Last time was the summer of 28, so that's 29, 30, and next year will be 31. It's perfect.
I'm sorry, Gina. I don't want to discuss it again. You're welcome to stay here as long as you like, but from now on, that particular topic is barred.
You move the fire guard and rouse the fire, Edith.
Oh, yes.
And I'll clear away the sherry.
Why don't you just fetch another glass? A sherry will warm us up just as well as that hot drink you offered.
What a good idea. Oh, that's better.
My, it's so cozy. Just perfect for the two of you.
It suits us very well.
I'm so glad to get a chance to know you properly, Miss Duncan. Or may I call you Grace? After all, you're such a good friend of Edith. It's time we got to know one another better.
It's kind of you to say so.
Not at all. I feel that we can speak to each other openly, like old friends. I mean, I'm quite sure that we understand each other perfectly, and that's so important, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Because not everyone would understand your very special relationship with Edith.
I don't quite follow you.
I think you do. The people at Ebony and Crown House are so naive. They don't necessarily see what's going on, even when it's staring them in the face.
You must excuse me, Your Ladyship. I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Oh, now don't be bashful. Why, I'd never dream of passing judgment myself.
Grace, I don't understand.
Oh, please don't be mad at me. I'd like to speak frankly, and I'd like to think that if you ever needed help, that you would come to me, just as I'm coming to you now when I need to ask a favor.
What do you mean?
Well, in confidence, darling. Charlie's investments are up the spout. We're flat broke. Well, that's why I'm asking you, Edith. Would you lend me a little something to tide us over?
I don't have any money. You know I haven't.
A bright girl like you, Edith? You must have some savings stashed away. Explain it to her, Grace. Just a couple of thousand, I'm sure, between the two
Lady
of you...
Lady Bowyer, I'm afraid it's quite out of the question. We're not in a position to help you. I'm very sorry.
But I think you ought to. Don't you? People talk. And what would William say?
You're still awake, aren't you?
Oh, I haven't been able to sleep at all. Grace, I'm so frightened. What will happen to us?
Nothing can happen. We haven't committed a crime. I told you that.
How can I face William?
That's just what you'll have to do.
Oh, I wouldn't dare.
It's the only way with blackmail.
Good morning, Edith.
Morning.
If you're looking for Alice, she's gone out shopping with Gina. I thought I'd better make a start on clearing the leaves. The wind brought them down last night.
It was a blustery night, wasn't it? I hear.
I could help if you like.
Oh, that's awfully good of you. Oh, my dear Edie. What is all this?
I must talk to you.
Well, of course you must. Out with it.
It's Gina. She wants me to lend her money. She asked last night, me and Grace. We told her we don't have any.
Well, of course not. Whatever is she thinking of? Oh, good Lord, Edie, it's nothing to cry about. If Gina's hard up, she'd better come and talk to me about it.
Well, that's what she said she would do. She threatened to come and tell you, and I've been so worried. Grace thought I should come and tell you myself, then she can't blackmail us anymore.
Did you say blackmail? What in the world?
She said she'd tell about Grace and me, about how fond we are of one another.
Well, that's perfectly obvious, silly woman. You and Miss Duncan have become very good friends. There's nothing remarkable about that.
Oh, no, William, you're wrong. It's a very remarkable friendship. I never expected it to happen. I'd never thought about it before, but Grace and I love each other. That's what Gina wanted to tell you.
Oswald Mosley? What about him?
Oh, nobody calls him Oswald. He's known as Tom. Everybody says he's the most brilliant politician in this country.
He started young enough. 21, I believe. Too young to know his own mind. Crossed over from the Tory benches and joined Ramsay MacDonald's lot.
Well, he's trying to start his own party, the New Party. I've been to some of his meetings and he is truly marvellous. You ought to come, William. You'd be swept off your feet.
My menfolk prefer to rusticate. Do have a peach, Gina. They're particularly good.
I'm afraid we must be a huge disappointment to you, Gina. Don't you think so, Grace?
We're very much country people.
Sticks in the mud. So's Edith.
Very much so.
Well, whatever takes your fancy, I suppose.
Contentment is what we're all after. You popped in at the lodge last night, I'm told.
Yes, I did.
In 3 years, Grace and Edith have turned it into a real home. We're very happy for them. Aren't we, Alice?
Of course we are.
Perhaps you imagine that when Edith moved out of the manor, she was somehow moving out of the family.
I didn't really think anything at all.
In fact, the reverse has happened. When Edith moved out, we met Grace. And Grace has been one of the family ever since. Do change your mind and have a peach.
What are you doing, Alice?
Making up my Christmas card list. I'm determined to make an early start. Mind you, I say that every year.
I suppose this year I should be cut off the list.
Oh, don't be silly.
Well, it certainly seemed that way last night. How come dear Grace Duncan gets preferential treatment and I get a keep out sign slammed in my face? Is it because I'm American or what?
William told me what you'd said to Edith, and I think it's really unforgivable. As far as we're concerned, Edith and Grace have made a happy life together. We don't want to listen to gossip about them.
I'm sorry, darling. I know I was a bitch, only I've been worried sick about money, and well, I wouldn't have done it if there'd been any other way, but you'd already turned me down, and oh, if only you change your mind.
Gina, please don't.
Well, it's such a little thing to you, but it would be a lifesaver for me.
How many times do I have to tell you? I won't do it.
You won't do what, my dear?
Oh, William. Oh, do shut those windows. The wind blows the dead leaves in. And you're tramping mud into the carpet.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting? What is it you won't do for Gina?
Oh, nothing very important. You remember I presented one of her friends at court 2 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Well, she's asking me to do it again next June, but I'm afraid I can't. For some reason, Gina won't take no for an answer.
You know why I won't. It's because I need the money, that's why.
Money? You mean these friends of yours would pay to be presented?
And what's so terrible about that? It'll get me out of a jam. And I don't remember Alice refusing the check the last time.
Oh, Alice? Well, why didn't you tell me?
Because I knew you'd be horrified. I'm sorry, William. I wasn't very proud of myself.
But why? Did you need money so badly?
She did it for me and Charlie. We were in trouble then, just like we are now. So she did it to help us out.
Is that such a crime?
Gina, I think you'd better leave. It would be easier for all of us if you went back to London.
Oh, okay. I guess I can take a hint. Oh, hell, I forgot. I asked Paul down for the weekend. I hoped he might clinch the deal. He'll be arriving any time now.
Do you mean Paul Wayman? What has Paul got to do with this?
He's the middleman. He introduces clients to the right people and takes his commission. I thought he might persuade Alice to change her mind.
Never. Never again.
Please go now, Gina. And don't worry about Mr. Wayman. When he arrives, I shall explain that he has had a wasted journey.
William, old boy, good to see you. Just let me pay off the cab.
Perhaps you should ask the driver to wait. He will need him to take you back to the station.
Take me back? What do you mean?
This will not take us long. There is very little to be said.
Hang on there, driver, could you?
I'm sorry to have to tell you this, since we've been friends for so long, but you're not welcome here, Paul.
You know.
Alice has been absolutely frank with me. She told me the whole story.
I see. It was a mistake, of course. I'm sure Alice must have told you that. It should never have happened. She loves you. She always loved you.
That is something I have no wish to discuss with you. Alice doesn't need you to speak on her behalf.
No, no. Very well. I only wanted to make sure that she wouldn't suffer on my account. Or the twins.
The twins? Why should they suffer?
Well, you might have turned against them, now you know the truth. You might have resented them. Oh, but of course, you wouldn't do that. They're your children in every way that matters. They were never mine, except
yours.
Oh, God. You didn't know.
Ring for one of the maids or Mrs. Webster.
I'd rather do my own packing.
You'll stay at Eaton Square?
Of course. You don't imagine I'm going off to join Paul, do you?
I don't know what to think. It's all unimaginable.
William, Paul must have told you. It never meant anything, even then. He'd been sent home from the front on sick leave. You were still in the trenches and I hadn't heard from you. The armistice was only a few weeks away. We didn't know that then. I was lonely, frightened. Paul comforted me. I never really loved him.
He said as much. But that doesn't seem to make much difference now, does it? It happened. You kept it a secret for 12 years. That's all I can think of. Deception.
I'll drive up to London tonight. I'll tell the children I have commitments at the palace.
But if you stay indefinitely...
I hope you'll allow me to come home occasionally. Caro will stay with me while she's in Fleet Street.
If that's what you want.
Martin will be at school. Or perhaps you prefer me to take Miranda with me.
Lose 3 children at once? I can't agree to that.
I thought...
The twins are mine, in every way that matters.
December the 28th, 1930. There must have been a fearful row. No one knows what it was about. The servants are gossiping. Lady Alice has gone back to London. Mother accompanied her so that she could replenish the linen stocks in the sales. It's good to see Mother excited, cheeks glowing at the prospect of a car ride with Lady Alice. She likes the notion of there being just the two of them.
Well, do come in, Jenny. I hope you weren't busy.
No, sir. I was just going to have a bath and go to bed.
Perhaps you pour us both a coffee.
Yes, certainly.
I've been looking through the seed catalogues. It's high time I put in the summer order. I thought perhaps you'd be interested in helping me make a list.
Yes, yes, of course.
You must be missing your mother very much.
It's actually very nice to have the rooms to myself.
Really? I find it quite hard. I don't think I'll ever get used to Lady Minster being away so much. But when duty calls... perhaps you jot down what has to be sown in February. Carnations, dahlias, nicotiana. Am I going too fast?
Nicotiana? Is that the tobacco plant?
Alice is very fond of the scent. Intoxicating on a hot summer's night. I must sow plenty. So that if she comes to stay... I mean when she...
Oh, sir.
I'm sorry. You must excuse me. I'm very tired. Jenny. Oh, dear Jenny. Oh, what am I to do? It's all gone wrong.
I understand.
That day when we fought the fire, when the children saw us together, perhaps they weren't really so very wide of the mark.
Shall I answer it?
No, let it ring. Oh, damn it.
Minster? Yes? What? Oh, my God. Yes? Yes, I see. Yes, very well, I'll come as soon as possible. Jenny, that was Orpington Police Station. There's bad news, I'm afraid.
Oh.
My wife's car has been involved in an accident. Oh. A dreadful accident.
Lady Alice, is she all right?
She's very badly injured.
Oh, no.
There's more. You must be very brave, Jenny. Your mother... She was thrown through the windscreen. She died instantly.
Jane Asher was Jenny, Richard Pascoe, William, Dinah Sheridan, Alice, Dominic Rickards, Nicholas, Gail Honeycutt, Gina, and Barbara Lee Hunt was Grace in the 7th episode of Crown House by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace. Edith was played by Barbara Atkinson, Paul Wayman, John Pullen, Thelma, Lady Furness, was Shelley Thompson, and the barman, Peter Craze. Crown House is directed by Graham Gold.